So every so often I have to have the conversation of, hey, this is what PR isn't. Now, all of these things are communications functions, right? But they all are separate pieces of the function. So social media is not PR. Marketing is not PR. Branding is not PR. Management is not PR. PR is visibility. Mm. PR is saying, this is why this product, this brand, this mission is important.
Hey, what's going on? It's your host, Tolu Oyemi, doing the most. Let's get to it. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at TOLU.OWOYEMI. Now back to the episode.
Hey, what's going on, my masterminders? Welcome to another episode of Mastermind Your Life. We got Ray Ray in the house, aka Ray the Publicist. You probably seen her on Instagram, co-founder of Intel Media Group. I'm talking about specialist expert when it comes to all things PR. You probably hear her on Clubhouse dropping gems, so go follow her on there too as well. Ray, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Masterminders? My name is Reagan, and I'm super excited to be here. This is a long overdue conversation because we've had this conversation before, but technology, right?
Technology, man. I tell y'all, man, we had this awesome, like, episode, and then I go back, I'm like, all right, it's time to chop it up and put it out there, and they're like, yo, the episode is deleted. I'm like, yo, what happened? They're like, yeah, that's how the software stream y'all works. So now we got a whole different software. We upgraded the technology. And it's a couple of different things. But it's one of those things is you keep moving along. You just keep picking up things and learning. So I'm super excited because Ray is really the plug. Like, a lot of people don't know, but when it comes to like PR, public relations, like media.
I do not want that title. That's a title you gotta live up to. So no thank you.
Oh man. But y'all better make it worth her time because she gave me like just little bits and pieces of like gems. She told me about Ashley Little Clubhouse. She told me about a Facebook group, and ever since then, there's been so many connections and things that have come out of that. So I can only imagine what's going to happen when somebody decides to like sit down and work with you.
Yeah, I love it. And thank you so much. And I think even with the little bits and pieces of advice that I gave you, you like took that and skyrocketed it. And that's kind of all I really want from people sometimes, right? Like, everything doesn't have to be, hey, we're full out representing you for PR. However, with the little quote unquote gems that, you know, I may drop on social media, or if you hear me on Clubhouse, or if you hear me on Twitter Spaces, taking that and applying it means a world of difference for me, at least.
Yeah. And PR nowadays is so interesting because I think the digital marketing or digital world or social media, like a lot of these different elements have kind of affected it. But even before we start diving into the juice and the sauce, talk to us about like your upbringing, because I already kind of know some of this from talking to you before, but you got a pretty dope, awesome, you know, like just pushing and getting there and getting things done and connecting and building. So talk to us about, because it's pretty fascinating and awesome to see like an entrepreneur and like how you got from being like the 9-to-5 and being like, you know what, I'm gonna do it on my own. Let me start the business, the partnership. So talk to us about like the upbringing and like the start.
Yeah, and I'll say, do it now, do it scared. Like, if you are listening to this and you're listening to us right now, like, launch that business, birth that plan, and kind of just stay consistent, because the one thing that we see is you see all these entrepreneurs glory, but like, you don't know their story when you're following them on social media. There's so many things that people aren't posting, right? Like, they aren't posting the struggles. And in my early 20s, like, to chase my dream, I struggled, like, and I struggled a lot. And tomorrow I'll be 31, you know, thank God. But like, it was a process to get here. And I'm sorry, I have two little dogs. So if they start barking, we're going to have to edit them out of the audio. But
hold on, you said your birthday is tomorrow, right?
Birthday is tomorrow, 31, W-O-N.
Ooh, another year. There we go.
Another year of life. But what I will say is that my upbringing, I'm an only child, single mom. My grandmother has always been here too. And what I will say from, you know, coming from a Black mother and a strong Black mother at that, who is also an entrepreneur, She's been in real estate for the past 16 years almost. I knew what it was like to hustle, right? And I think that hustling is one thing, but like consistency is another. Because you can hustle and you can do all of these different things, but it is that matter of consistency and resilience that gets you to the next level. Because we get so worried about like setbacks and things of that nature. But we got to remember that we're like a basketball, right? Like if you keep on dribbling, you may bounce down, but you'll always bounce back. And I really had to think about like what that bouncing back looks like, what that resilience looks like over these past 31 years, right? Like what you see right now, like I mentioned earlier, that's just a highlight reel. But those bits and pieces in between that you don't see is kind of what made Reagan who she is today.
Wow, that's extremely powerful. Hold on, this is why we upgraded this right here. So, oh man, and you know that's life. You know, I think for everybody,
for sure.
and you're so right because a lot of people. And we live in a social media world right now where if somebody's trying to chop it up with you or you hang, like, hey, what's your Instagram handle? Hey, where you at on social media?
For sure.
And we use that to quickly make, you know, assumptions and judgments about people. And it's interesting because, you know, I feel like the true storytellers, you know, like people that are able to show their wins and losses. Yeah, there's a lot of people online that everything just looks like a movie scene, you know, just hopping out the Lambo truck, you know, like, yo, stunting with Gucci, yo, what's up? And
it ain't like that all the time. It ain't.
That's right.
Like, me got an album called Wins and Losses, and I love it because I've had so many losses, like, just as much as I've had wins.
Yeah, and I feel like one thing about the losses is that they strengthen you, you know, and they help you in life, because sometimes we'll see people whereby one little thing will happen to them and it completely crumbles them. It, like, everything they built and all the glamour and glitz and like, yo, I'm this and that, they can't handle that little thing. Like, I want to be with the person that has scars. I want to be with the person that has been through some stuff, that has gotten banged up, that has taken a couple of L's. Why? Because you've gotten up and you kept pushing from that. So what that tells me is that if something happens in the future, you're not going to shut down completely. Like, you see all, like, the news be crazy. Like somebody little happened, killed themselves. Or like, yo, it's like, yo, why, it ain't that bad. And yeah. I know there's a passage in the Bible is like, for all things, you know, work it together for the good of those that love God. And it's like the process to like endure so that you can be mature, you can be stronger for whatever it is that the future holds for you. So definitely excited. And I always feel like those losses, I feel like in life, I forgot what, but it's like, as long as you win in the end or you got some like good success, like the losses is cool. It's like little artwork. It's like pieces of art. But it's like, if you got the losses and then you end up being a loss, then it's like, damn, like,
yeah, and I think by now from our first initial conversation, you know that I do a lot of like quotes, right? So like, Jay-Z is my favorite rapper. We talked about this the last time. But he said like a loss isn't a loss, it's a lesson. Like, appreciate the pain, it's a blessing. And that's real, right? Like, from every single time that I lost something, right, I learned something from that. And one is not to go back to where I was, but two, maybe this loss was to teach someone else not to do the same thing. And it's funny, a few weeks ago I was talking to a mentee of mine. Her name is Maya. Maya turned 21 either this week or last week. Wow. And I turned 31. So we were just having conversations about like birthdays coming up, and she's still in college. She's in the communications field. But talking to Maya at 21 and me about to turn 31, like, I'm like, wow, like, this is like me talking to my younger self. So what would I tell myself at 21 through all the things that I've learned? And I'm older than her, sure, but like, but I got on a few years. However, I'm close enough to still be her big sister, right? Like, I'm still close to age to be her big sister. And we just were talking about like what I've learned, right? Like, hitting reset, knowing that no matter what, you can always start over. And I'm like, wow, like, to think that I've learned these things in this amount of years, when at 21, I wasn't thinking about this. At 21, I felt like, because I left, because I've lived in LA and New York, and I moved to LA right after graduation, but I left maybe around like 22, 23. And that felt like a loss to me, right? Like, that felt like a loss, but knowing that I had, like, knowing that we can always hit reset, I wasn't clear on that at first. Like, I felt, oh my God, I'm coming home, I'm a failure. But when I really think about it in the grand scheme of things, okay, Reagan, no, you just had to hit reset, because everything that you learned in LA was right on time, right? However, it wasn't the right time for you to be there. So you're just hitting reset to get refreshed and get refocused. And now clients send for me to come to LA. You get what I'm saying? I'm in LA for BET Awards. I'm in, you know, all of these different places, and knowing these different people, because those are the people that I needed at that time. I just wasn't sure when I needed those people, when I would need them.
Yeah. And one thing is, like, looking at things in hindsight, or looking at things in, like, retrospect, is I think when we're here in the present, you don't necessarily, like, under, like, the events that are happening. And it's kind of crazy. Like, it's all about how you just look at things too, as well. It's like, somebody can, like, you can have somebody get locked up, or somebody go through some crazy situation, and some people will look at that and be like, oh my God, this is the end. Like, they will just keep fixating on it, and they will assign, like, a negative attribute to that situation, and they will let that kind of, like, dictate their life. Somebody else can look at that and attribute a positive component to it and use that as a springboard to be like, you know what, that happened, so I can get to a better version, or it can open up doors. And you see, like, Wallow too, for, like, you see all kinds of different people. Didn't even know Bill Gates was locked up at one point in time for doing some dumb stuff, you know. Like, it's crazy. And I think that, you know, like, us in our 30s, and, you know, it's like extremely young, because what we're seeing now is that, and I feel like it's building your brand. It's like putting yourself out there. It's getting the experience. Like, one thing I think is fascinating about what you're doing is that you're actually running your own business. You know, a lot of people don't get into running their own business. They said the average age of an entrepreneur is about 40 years old. So it's fascinating. Wow. It's like, you already have, like, this business knowledge from years of being in it. You know, handling clients, you know, dealing with outlets, you know, like, arranging events, you know. So it's like a lot.
Almost 10 years. And ooh. I learned something new literally every single day. Like, client interactions look different, right? Like, as of January, I merged my business with my business partner, Deja, because we were two separate entities, and we would come together every so often. But now, like, this is a real thing. So it's like, yeah, I am a decision maker, but we make decisions together. And I am a different entrepreneur from when I was 22. I'm a different entrepreneur from when I was 23, 24, 25. So year 31, I'm taking everything that I learned, right? And let's backtrack on the entrepreneurship side. Every single thing that I learned about entrepreneurship came from a job. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we think that, oh my God, I want to hop out and start a company. And that's great. And for some people that works. But in order to be a boss, in order to be the boss that I wanted, I had to first be a worker, you know. Ooh. And I think we don't really talk about that. Like, we talk about, oh my God, I'm starting my own company, I'm running my own business. And that's cute. But excuse my French Cholo, I think by now, you know, I curse. That shit don't always work out that way. Like, it doesn't. And learning contract negotiation, dealing with clients, right? Because at first I had to deal with companies, mm-hmm. and I had to deal with bosses, and I had to deal with all of those things that made me who I am today. And I think we don't talk about that enough.
And what was the Matthew 23:11 says, if the person who wants to be the greatest amongst you shall be your servant. Who's really serving out here? You know, like, the greatest
servant leader.
There you go. So, and you have to serve. Like, a lot of times, you know, we see people that want to flex, and it's like, nah, I'm too big to do all of that. Like, yo, you know, I've been like, come on, man. Like, and it's kind of like No, you got to go through the position of, I'm looking for people to serve. Like, I want to serve you. Like, I'm like, especially if you're going somewhere in life, you got a brain on your head. Like, you want to excel in life. Like, how can I serve you? What can I do? Because I want to learn. I want to eat. You know, and I think the same thing, like what you're saying, you know, when you were working in those positions, you dealt with bosses. Like, how did the boss operate? Like, what are things you can, how do you build that relationship? And one thing that I'm excited to talk to you about, because the field you're in is all about building relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to this point too, I didn't know how much it costs to be the boss until I had to pay somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like, we talk about like the cute part of running your company, right? Oh, see me here, watch me here, I'm on this red carpet, I'm on that red carpet. But paying someone else and knowing that the work that you have done has to now feed someone else, whether they do the job properly or not, is a different conversation.
Wow.
Like, that's the, and that is something that I had to come to grips, right? Like, so now this is bigger than me. This is now paying somebody else, regardless of if they do this job well or not. And it's that part alone is stressful. Like, I now see why bosses are like, oh my God, this, like, I now see why some people are crazy, because it will make you crazy.
What's that James Brown song? Pay costs to be the boss. And like, the boss, you gotta like make hard decisions. You, and I feel like that also empowers you to be like more confident in life, when you just know, like, yo, I got people riding on my back. I got people that I'm helping feed their family. So I don't got time for all the games. Like, it just makes you want to cut through all the noise and the smoke and get straight to it.
Yep. And I don't know James Brown, but I'll quote Drake, and I will say that he says, paid the cost to be the boss, but it wasn't my most expensive purchase. Like, that's real. Like, that's real. That's real. Cause I be going through it sometimes in a good way.
Yo, no. I feel you. And I think it's always like different levels, you know, like, think about it. Like, you can be a boss with like one person, but then you can be a boss with like 500 people. You can be a boss with 1,000. So it's almost like you're not dead. So it's almost like God is kind of like just preparing for a different, like, everything we're going through is like, oh, the reason why I'm able to succeed now, the reason I'm able to still keep it pushing, is because of everything I went through earlier. So that means if everything I'm going through right now, there must be something greater in the future, which I'm just preparing myself for, so I can handle that. Because bosses, you got to handle stress, you got to handle pressure, you got to handle people's expectations, you got to handle, like, everybody wants something. They want your time. They, hey, break, hey, this, that. And how do you know, kind of handle a lot of their expectations and people, you know, wanting your time? Like, what does that look like for you?
You know, I'm still figuring that out. Like, right. Like, so like I mentioned, tomorrow is my birthday. I still have meetings. Like, and it is.
you gotta sip on some mimosas, get on the Zoom call.
Yeah. Now, granted, they're going to get cut off at a certain time, but like, because we are a small shop, we are a small team. No, that doesn't mean like we're working around the clock. However, in some instances, the work still has to get done. So maybe, you know, I'm finding balance though. Like, I definitely have to have balance. So no, that doesn't mean no days off. Cause guess what? Friday, I'm not working. Tomorrow, it's the half day. And, you know, sometimes I still have to do those things, but it has to be within in moderation. Everyone can't have my time. You can't book a call with me instantly. People will DM me, and I appreciate it. And thank you so much for reaching out to me. But folks will DM me and they will say, hey, here's my phone number. Can you give me a call? I want to talk to you about PR. No, I can't give you a call. However, you can set up the appropriate appointment. Exactly. Because I don't book same day conversations, right? So like, And I thank these people for reaching out to me, but that's just not how I do business. You can't get me on the phone the same day.
Exactly.
Because I need to plan for those conversations. So I need 24-hour in advance notice.
And they better cut you that check, right?
That too.
You better tell them this.
Tell them to bring me my money.
Can't be picking my mind for free. That's people like, hey, can I get a quick call? Okay, I had like 18 different questions for you real quick. So first of
And they're very centralized. Like, I have to give you what I need in order to give you the best information, but it can't be 18 different questions.
I feel that. Okay, and one thing that's kind of interesting, you know, you're Lincoln University, you know, so shout out for you. Like, and it seems like you're still very close, you know, with your sisters, and like you're still like, you know, going to events and keeping those relationships strong. But talk to us.
Because that's home. That's home. That is the place that made me who I am today. Of course, home literally made me that, but I owe a lot to Lincoln University. So no matter where I am and what I'm doing and how I'm doing it, I'm always shouting out Lincoln University. I'm always putting on for home. Like, I'm actually working on a project. It's called Where Are All the Black People? And the other project is called The One Club. And basically they are to bridge the gap between Black people and advertising. Both events will be happening in September, October-ish. But long and the short, the first place that I thought of was Lincoln. Students who look like Reagan need those opportunities. So how can I connect with Lincoln to say, hey, as an alumni, this is what I'm currently working on. They're looking for HBCU students. I need my alma mater to be in on the conversation. Because that's the most rewarding thing to me, Tolu. Like, I know we'll get into career and we'll talk about the work that I've done. And to me, that's cool. But to me, projects like this where I can say, hey, Lincoln, I got this opportunity. It's free for HBCU graduates. I want y'all to be the first in on the conversation. That means more to me than anything. Like, that means more to me than any red carpet. That means more to me than any celebrity client. That means more to me than anything. So Lincoln is home. It will always be home. It gave a girl from Baltimore a chance more than one occasion. Before I moved to California, Lincoln sent me to live to California for free.
Oh, wow.
To work with Kevin Frazier at Entertainment Tonight and then also at Hip Hollywood. So that's a place that I'll be forever grateful to. And when my hair is gray, I'm going to still be giving back and shouting out Lincoln from the rooftops.
Hey. Okay. So yeah. How do you reach out to, you know, alumni, like the potential graduates? Are you guys connected on Clubhouse? Is there like a special forum you guys meet, or is there like a Zoom monthly?
So I know that they have a Clubhouse room. I know that Lincoln does have a Clubhouse room every so often. But now a lot of my peers, and shout out to them, are now the people who are running administration, or at least people who are familiar with me and familiar with the work that I've done. So it was easy to I won't say easy, but I was able to reach out to someone in career services at my alma mater to say, hey, we have this opportunity. Or even something as simple as posting things on LinkedIn and Facebook to just say, hey, I'm looking for HBCU students, but more importantly, I'm looking for home. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm looking for my alma mater. Because we're also an underdog school. You think about the Howards and you think about the Hamptons, and I definitely don't want to take away from any of those places, because those places are phenomenal too. But I do want to make sure that the schools that are forgotten about, the Lincolns, the Cheneys, the Mississippi Valley States, the Wilberforces, all of those HBCUs where we might not have a large endowment like Howard, we might not be Hampton, we might not be FAMU, but we are educating some of the best and the brightest as well. Like, my classmates are phenomenal, and I can shout out so many who have gone on since to do great things. But yeah, I gotta put on for Lincoln always and forever.
That's mad dope, man. I love the fact that you're a beacon of light and opportunity for them, because, you know, as you continue to grow and reach back out to kind of like, you know, pull people up and give them opportunities, it's only so long before, you know, Lincoln, you know, recognizes that on a larger and larger scale. And maybe they might have the Reagan PR, you know, class, or the you know,
I love it.
You never know. And
look, one day, maybe.
Definitely. So, you know, and talking about PR, you know, PR is such a fascinating world, because I think that consumers don't know anything about it, but yet they're affected by it big time.
they don't know anything about it. They think that it's one thing. They think that it's social media. They think that it's marketing. So every so often I have to have the conversation of, hey, this is what PR isn't. Now, all of these things are communications functions, right? But they all are separate pieces of the function. So social media is not PR. Marketing is not PR. Branding is not PR. Management is not PR. PR is visibility. PR is saying, this is why this product, this brand, this mission is important. Using third-party media validation. Marketing is saying, try this product. PR is saying, this is why the product is important. Now, one hand washes the other with all of those things. However, you need them all. You need them all. You need the social media, especially in 2021, right? You need the marketing. You need the branding. And if to have an effective strategy, you need all things in order to be successful.
So what from working with, you know, your different clients, right, over the course of really, you know, decades, but really over the years, what makes a PR campaign successful? What characteristics do your clients have that makes their PR campaign successful?
I think it tugs on people's heartstrings one way or another. And I won't even go on to say that. So Kanye's rolling out, I think, Thursday or Friday. I won't say, oh my God, it's the most successful campaign. But the one thing that I did see that it's doing right now is he's using Sha'Carri Richardson.
That's right.
How, as big as the media play that was, no matter, you know, if you believe she should have went to the Olympics, she should have not went to the Olympics, whatever you believe, he's using someone that has been in the media who we can relate to, right? A Black girl, a black woman, rather, who has been ostracized, if you will, by the Olympics and has been a major talking point, right? So people are talking about him using her in that campaign. Even when I saw her, I was like, wow, like, go off. I'm glad that she was able to get something, you know? So I think that's things like that, elements such as that can pull on folks' heartstrings. That's what makes a good campaign.
That's not
something out and get Sha'Carri Richardson. However, what that is saying is be relatable, be honest, be authentic, stay true to yourself, and use things that resonate with your audience.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. Even when I saw that, I was like, jumping up. I was like, what? Like, she gonna?
Yeah.
So it just pulled my attention over there. And That's the smarts of Kanye West. I don't know if it was him specifically or his team that was like,
they said two Black women actually put the campaign together.
There you go.
Yep.
And just a side note real quick. What do you think about the whole Richardson, you know, character? Do you think it's justified, you know, what happened to her? Or do you think, like, man, it should be kind of like...
Okay, so...
Get the foot off her neck. What do you think?
So don't disown me for this, right?
Hold on, I'm about to hit that click button. You say the wrong thing, Ray. I'm finna hit that.
So one, yes, her mother passed away, and I totally understand because I can never imagine that pain, right? In that same breath, though, she knew that if she did that, she wouldn't be in the Olympics. Does that make sense? So, yes, her mother passed away. I can never imagine that pain. And who knows what anyone will do, right? But I think even she owned up to the fact that it was wrong. Remember, she said on Good Morning America, I knew it, and I still didn't. And it's like, in some instances, we got to hold each other accountable too, right? Like, sure, we talk about Michael Phelps and that he did, I think, the same thing. But he was already in the Olympics. He was already there. So it wasn't like he was trying to compete to get there. So that's my perspective.
Nah, I think it's crazy because when she first won, the whole Black community was like, that's our girl. You know, like, people were crazy mad behind her. Love social media. We rooting for you. Let's go, like, us. And then you saw the whole situation with the weed and like, yo. And I think a lot of people were like, come on now, You can't be that stupid to do something like that.
Because everybody smoke a little weed. Let's be honest. Like, y'all cannot discredit that girl for smoking weed. However, she said it herself. She said, I knew it was wrong. I knew I couldn't do it. But she still did it anyway. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and the beauty of it is, though, she's young. She still got time. She gonna probably come back with a vengeance. So don't discredit her out. And I think that people are like, I think that people have mixed feelings, but no, that's just my opinion. I think that she's a beautiful girl. I would have loved to see her compete, but unfortunately, she can't.
Man, social
but I'm sure
media.
She's gonna get all of the brand deals from it. Like, ooh, yeah. I wish her nothing but the best.
Oh yeah, and you know the crazy part about this. This might be a setup by God, because there's so much attention on her right now. You're right. All these brands, sponsorships. Hey, we feel for you. We want to represent.
That's what we talked about. We talked about lessons earlier. She just probably learned one of the biggest lessons of her lifetime. But how she bounces back from that, I can't wait to see her bounce back from that. Because guess what? And that's a lesson to everybody, right? I did something. I made a mistake, and I made a costly mistake. However, I will not let that mistake define me.
Exactly. Exactly. Never let it define you.
Yeah.
So, right.
So that's just my opinion. I hope you don't kill me for it.
Nah, I was going to kill you, but I ain't going to kill you as much now.
Because it's realistic, right? Like, we got to also be realistic, too. We can't, no offense, we can't do what they do. So, unfortunately.
Yeah, the whole situation was, it happened so quick. I think that's another thing. And then you see Kanye. And that, look, this is, we were saying, like, it's a springboard. The fact that Kanye pulled her in, because normally she would have just kept going the route of just going to say run, train, maybe get some deals here and there. But now she's drawing a lot of media attention, a lot of people, and even, you know, it's still going to be something that she can. You look at so many different Tiger Woods, everybody, a lot of people have done things, and
everybody makes mistakes, but I think the difference is how you learn from it. And, you know, who you're connected to, who you're surrounded by. Because Nike didn't drop her. I noticed that. Like, did you notice that? Like, Nike did not drop her. Where they could have been like, all right, see you later.
They know the black community was going to be on their neck. The black community would have been like, yo, try and see.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the black community would have been like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Bet. All right. Mm-hmm. They did that with Colin Kaepernick. They black community not playing nowadays.
Yeah, they didn't drop her. Then Kanye picked her up. Then I saw she got some endorsement for a vapor company, which she should not take.
Why do you think she shouldn't take that?
She already got in trouble for smoking. Why would she do anything remotely close to smoking again?
That's deep. I like that.
And she shouldn't take it.
Okay, so Intel Media Group.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to us about, even the partnership with Deja and kind of like how you guys combined forces. Talk about like what you were doing on your own and then how you and her met and decided, okay, let's join our heads together. Two heads are better than one, and let's go on and tackle the world.
Yeah. Yeah. So Intel Media Group, we like to believe that we are at the intersection of impact, influence, and ingenuity. And what does that look like? Like, we believe that we're cultural innovators, that we are game changers, and that we have the pulse on the millennial and Gen Z demographic in the way that we communicate from a multicultural audience. But long and short, without all of that fluff, Deja and I have known each other since like 2014, 2015. And, you know, we've worked together both individually and collectively. But at one point, we were working together so much that it was like, let's just merge. So, like, this isn't a new venture overall. We're just now putting a name to it. And we've worked with a wide variety of brands, right? So, we've done some work with Black and Compton. We've done some work with Benedict College, which is an HBCU, United Negro College Fund, NAACP, Harvard University. And the list kind of goes on from there. And then, like I said, we're working with those initiatives. Where are all the Black people? And then the One Club to bridge the gap in advertising and marketing. But I don't believe that we have just one particular sweet spot. I believe that we can do it all. And that is not an ego-driven thing. That is more so just seeing the work that we've done.
And talking about the work that you've done, let's say somebody comes to you that like, hey, I've got this new vegan hot chili pepper, you know, powder that's like the meanest. I'm talking about you put this grill rub, you put it on your seafood, you put it on your chicken, it's going, and they got a little bit of, you know, little buzz, or they got, you know, some people like it, they got sales going on. They're like, hey, look, we're looking for publicity. We want to get more exposure. How do you handle them? Like, how's onboarding look like? What kind of questions are you asking them?
I think I'm asking them, what are their expectations when hiring a publicist? You know, what are some strengths? What are some weaknesses? What's their why? Because so many people want to run out and hire a publicist, but they don't even know why they need one. They don't even know their own personal story, right? And it is, if you can't articulate your story to me, it's difficult for me to articulate it through the world, right? Like, granted, sure, I can create something. However, it's more authentic when you tell it and when we have your elements to it. But, you know, that just means them booking a conversation, us doing a consultation, us really pulling back the layers from start to finish to say, hey, this is who you are. This is what you do. This is why it's important.
What's one of the clients that you worked with that when you heard their story initially, you was like, yo, we got one. Let's go. Like, you was like, yo, Deja, this is it right here. This one right here, like, this is... This finna go.
So I'm going to shout out two of our clients in Baltimore. So one is Jessica Kidd. So she is over at the House of Bombshell. She's a beauty enthusiast, what I like to call her. And long and short, she had never done PR before. Wow. And it was very new to her. So like us setting up interviews and things like that, it was great. And even my client, Harris Hawkins and Co., right? So they're two Black millennial women who recently started a real estate brokerage. They now have two real estate brokerage, but they had never been on TV before. Mm-hmm. So those clients to me are always the clients where I'm like, man, I helped out in some way. I can say that I am now a part of them telling their story. Doesn't mean that I'm a part of their success. However, I'm a small blip in them getting their story out there. So those are the clients that I enjoy. Or like I said, when we worked before the pandemic, we had worked with the United Negro College Fund and we did their mayor's mask ball, which they fund HBCUs. Their mask balls in different cities are like really, really big. And we did the mask ball in LA before the pandemic hit. Or we did their kickoff event. We were supposed to do the actual mask ball, but then the pandemic hit. But like me, back to me being an HBCU graduate, me being an HBCU graduate and telling the stories of those projects is phenomenal. Because I can really sit there and say, yo, I'm impacting someone that looks like me. Like I said, the celebrity-driven work is great. The entertainment-driven work is great. But I don't get that same feeling. And that's no shade to entertainment. I don't get that same feeling. I don't get that I'm helping out as much as I need to. Does that make sense?
It does. And it kind of seems like you're saying people that are just like you, Black women that are starting their businesses, some level within their business, years into their business, that are saying, you know what? I need that next level of exposure. I need to join forces because they're in a position whereby that connection with you can be extremely powerful. Like you said, she didn't know about like getting on the shows and the interviews and things of that nature. And then the other powerful thing about it is that when you do get on those shows and those interviews and those, you know, different placements, it opens up further doors of business. You never know who's going to see something and reach out to that person. And that's the other question I wanted to ask you. What was the most like exciting or astonishing? Like you put somebody on the placement and then somebody hit them and they were like, oh my God, Ray, like you would never believe who saw me on what you did and they reached out to me, or because of what you did, this business opportunity opened up for me.
I have a lot of clients like that, so I can't really say like
okay.
But like I said, back to Harris Hawkins, this was their first time on TV.
damn, son, where'd you find this?
They had never done TV before, and they were just so amazed. Like, at first they were a little nervous. I see that nervousness has like quickly subsided, and folks are reaching out to them and saying, hey, you know, I saw your interview on Fox 45 Baltimore. Hey, I saw your interview on ABC2 Baltimore. And, you know, I came here, or I reached out to you because I saw that interview. So it's definitely interesting to be a part of that story.
Awesome. Now, you know, handling a business, you know, we were talking about this a little earlier. You know, it definitely has its ups and downs. You know, what are some of the systems? Because I remember one time I was on Instagram and I saw something from you. You said something in HoneyBook. I was like, okay, now, like, you know, the systems, you know, like CRM. So, like, what are some of the systems and, you know, different processes that you use? Because that's one thing me and my business partner, you know, we talk about all the time. Is like, yo, how do we strengthen the systems, like onboarding new clients, like servicing the clients, having staff taking care of the clients? Like, what are some of the things that you do to kind of, you know, automate and handle the, you know, the different back and forths and new client on board and, you know, just taking care of all the day-to-day activities?
Okay. So HoneyBook is a tool that we swear by at Intel Media Group, because clients can log in, they can pay their invoices, we can communicate with them from start to finish, they can sign contracts, we can even find vendors on HoneyBook. And then also, I have a discount code on HoneyBook. Let me give it to you really quickly.
There you go. Shout it out. Let them know. And I dove into HoneyBook, and I love the fact that, like Ray was just saying, it incorporates a lot of those different elements, a lot of those different components. You know, your invoices, the communication, you know, giving people progress updates. So, you know, things like that are key.
Yeah. So, HoneyBook, I have a 50% off code. So if you go to my Instagram page, my handle is @RayThePublicist. And if you click the link in my bio, it'll give you that discount code.
Awesome. So y'all heard it there, straight from Ray, the publicist. Go click the link in her bio. Go check it out, especially if you're an entrepreneur that you get systems all over the place, or you're trying to say to yourself, okay, how do I get things organized? I would feel like the new clients coming in for you, is it through word of mouth, or how do you get most of your new clients? Because
it's a mixed bag. So some is word of mouth, some is through platforms such as Clubhouse or Twitter Spaces, and some is just through Instagram. Some is just friends of a friend. So there's not really one way specifically that I'll say, oh, clients are coming in this way. It's so much. And totally, when I say I'm blessed, like, I am so blessed to just be able to say, hey, the clients are coming in. Because I remember it was a point in time where they weren't coming in. So, like, that instant gratification of, like, hey, this is going to happen for me tomorrow. And I'm not saying it'll take you 10 years, because maybe it won't. But I'm hitting my stride, like, and it is so refreshing for me.
Wow. So, you know, one thing dealing with clients, and I love the fact that you asked this question at the beginning, like, what are your expectations from of a PR listening? Because I feel like that question helps you to iron so many things out. It helps you to set the tone. It helps you to understand their mindset. It helps them to understand your mindset and what they can expect of you. Because I think a lot of people might sign up and be like, oh, okay, so they're just gonna tap a few buttons and then I'm gonna blow up. I'm gonna be everywhere. We're gonna be busting out the scene. And it's like, it's not like that. How do you determine what outlets to pitch people to? Like, if I come
in. It depends. So there's no one size fit all strategy, right? Like, some people will come and they'll say, oh, I see that you've gotten this client feature here, here, and here. But just because I've gotten this client feature on BT, CNN, or, you know, whatever have you, whatever those places are, that doesn't necessarily mean that you will do the same. And that's okay, right? Like, your strategy is your strategy. That person's strategy is their strategy. But it's about momentum, and it's about consistency, and it's about being resourceful. So I think how we determine where we want to pitch people is the story that we want to tell initially. What does this story look like initially? And then using what we like to call a multi-step approach to say, hey, here's what we're doing. Here's where we see you featured, and going from there. But to say, oh my God, I want all my clients featured on BT, or, oh, I want all my clients featured on Revolt, that's not necessarily the case. However, if Revolt works for them, great. If BT works for them, great. If, I don't know, the Quintessential Gentleman works for them, that's awesome too. So I think it's much less about the where, it's more so about the impact and making sure that it resonates with the audience that they're looking for or looking to capture.
Gotcha. And I feel like one of the things that people look at the, you know, publicists and public relations as having superpowers is the fact that you got the connections with the people in the magazines, because they're like, oh my God, I think she know so-and-so in the mag, or they know so-and-so in the show. Like, talk about like those relationships, like between you and the outlet.
Yeah, it's so important, literally. And I think it's not just because you need something, right? Literally, shout out to, I was texting one of my friends earlier, shout out to Jiggy, because I just believe that we got to give each other flowers too, right? Excuse me. So Jiggy writes for The Source, and he's become a really good friend of mine. We were working with the Trap Music Museum in Miami, and Jiggy covered them for their like grand opening. But now him and I become friends. So like, I don't have a story for him, but I'm texting him and checking on him to see how he's doing. You know, we have built that rapport just off of one story. So it doesn't necessarily mean that I always need something from him when I'm texting him, or anyone for that matter. Like, you don't want to always hit people up because you need something or you want them to cover a story.
Oof. Talk about it. And how like, and this is why I love the fact that you're on here. Like, now that you're going through all of this and you're developing, how important is it that you build your network with people that you can grow with, like, and the type of people you choose? Like, because it's super like, important. Yeah, you get to see that on a firsthand basis. Like, and it's crazy, because I think it's usually when people get a lot older, they're like, oh man, like, I shouldn't be hanging around these type of people. I should be hanging around people that think like this.
I never want anyone to say, oh, Reagan only hits me up when she needs something. Mm. I never want anybody to say that about me. So if I can eliminate that as much as possible, that's more so what I want to do. Like, because I have run into people where unless they need something, or unless they're asking you for something, they don't hit you up. And I want to eliminate that. So like, even back to, remember I mentioned earlier, I've lived in New York, I've lived in LA. And the key reasons why I was supposed to be in those places, of course I'm finding this out as I get older, is because I need a relationship there. As a publicist, those are two major markets. And now the people that I've interacted with from living in those places have gone on to do phenomenal things. So again, if I'm doing an event in LA, I can say, okay, hey y'all, this, and this. Or hey New York, you know, this is the one I'm working on, can you come out? So I think it's much less about always needing something from someone to reach out to them. More so about building a solid rapport. I even have people that I've met from social media connect with me and just kind of stay in touch, and I'll shout this person out too, Kiana. So Kiana goes by The Authentic Messenger on Instagram, and she's very sweet. But like, we didn't know each other before. And a few weeks ago, I'm in Atlanta. She came to help me with an event. Like, we knew each other from social media. And I think it's just about being a kind person. And now I need to check in on Kiana since I'm talking about her. But she had just moved to Atlanta. Deja and I were doing a series of events. And then I actually came back to Atlanta for another event. She helped me out both times.
Mm. And you know, when you say event, Do you think, like, what would even something that would be beneficial for you is to do like a PR kind of like event marketing, where it's like you and Deja, and then you can have like other panelists there, and have like a videographer like record some of that content?
So I'm always speaking, right? Like, I'm always on panels. I spoke in DC this past weekend. Us doing an event, we're thinking of doing some things for this year. We are so busy though, so like, it's hard to be a servant leader. And then also outside of Intel, right, Deja and I have two personal brands. So it's working for clients, working for Intel, working for whatever the rate of publicist brand looks like, and going from there. I have a brand called Paid Over Popular. I have a brand called Hustle Sold Separately. And it's like, ooh, I gotta strategize for myself and for clients. It's a lot.
Yo, tell me about it. And you know, clients, obviously, they take up a lot, because I don't think anybody ever wants to get on a call with a client and not know that you didn't do your best. So, like, you want to come prepared. So, you always, you know, you go out of your way to, you know, make sure everything is well taken care of before. Sometimes you kind of, like, you know, want them to be like, oh, my God, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, and then sometimes, too, like, let's also talk about, yes, we want clients to believe that things are awesome, but also sometimes as service-based business owners, sometimes everything won't go awesome. Ooh. And sometimes no matter how hard you try, the client just won't be satisfied. And I think we gotta talk about that too on entrepreneurship. There was a project a few months ago that Deja and I were working on, and we believe that we did our complete best, right? Like, good, better, best. Mm. But the client didn't feel the same way. Oh, wow. And unfortunately, we had to agree to disagree, and things happen, you know? So I think sometimes, too, we got to get out of the notion of this one perfect, and kind of check our egos at the door, too. Because although I believe that, won't say that I know every single thing in PR, I feel like I know enough, everybody won't believe that. Mm-hmm. So there's so many different things that you got to learn as an entrepreneur. You can do your absolute best. Sometimes your best isn't good enough, and that's okay. But you might strike out, and I like to say that we don't strike out often, but sometimes we do, because nobody's perfect. And that's another reality. Like, we talk about reset too. So like, I like to say this, so, and I'm sure that you'll get here. But in an instant, I went from not walking to walking red carpets. So no matter, and because I have epilepsy, I got into a car accident in 2016. I look at life in such a granular way of, no matter what, if as long as I can say that I did my best, no matter who thinks otherwise, that's okay. And I learned something from that, but I'm cherishing these moments that we're creating right now.
That's powerful. And I'm cherishing these moments in Queen right now, Queen 2 as well. And talking about, you know, epilepsy, and but before we get into that, you know, I do feel like those lessons with the client that are difficult. In fact, I always tell my team this, that whenever the difficulty arises, that's the best meal right there, because it teaches you so much about
humility.
Yeah. Yourself, the processes that were used, how to better handle clients next time, how to better handle setting expectations. Like, when things are going smooth, that's great. You don't grow.
You learn from that, though.
When things get rough, that's when you pull up your fork and knife and it's time to eat. And talking about, I correct me if I'm saying this wrong, but epilepsy, how, and we had that discussion, you know, the first round when we initially spoke, and how has that been how has that affected your journey? You know, like, how has that intertwined with your journey? How does that look like for you? And especially even recently, since the last couple of months since we spoke?
A lot. It's affected my journey a lot. So at 22, I was diagnosed with epilepsy. So in 2013, but then in that same breath, remember I told you Lincoln sent me to live in LA the summer of my senior year. And then a year after college, I moved to LA on my own. but I moved to LA with epilepsy. And this was when I first got diagnosed, because one, I knew that regardless of if I had epilepsy, it didn't have me. And I knew that I would be okay, right? But still not knowing my body, there were certain things that I couldn't do, right? I needed sleep. I needed water. I needed rest. I couldn't drink caffeine as much. Now, granted, some of those things I still am hard-headed too. Yeah. However, my seizures are controlled as long as I take my medicine. And it took a while for me to get here, hence the car accident. I wasn't taking my medicine, which is why I had the car accident. But there were a lot of instances that could have been prevented. But sometimes we need to, one, listen to our bodies. One, listen to God first. But two, you know, listen to our bodies and know that we aren't always in control, like, as much as we like to believe it. But another lesson in humility, right, was like, hey, if you don't listen to me from a God perspective, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to make you listen and I'm going to sit you down, because this isn't about you. And you're blessed with this gift and you have to use it. So when I say I went from not walking to walking red carpets, I couldn't walk for 3 months. Like, this side of my head was like, literally, someone took a picture of it. It was hanging. Like, this had to get stitched up eventually. So, and the car was mangled. You can see the car on my Instagram. It was mangled. Wow. Because I went 400 feet into oncoming traffic, and then I crashed into a brick wall. And when I first graduated college, I would speak at a program called AVID, and I would speak on something called Randy Posh's last lecture. And Randy Posh was a professor at Carnegie Mellon, but he had brain cancer. He was he was a professor that had brain cancer, and eventually this long lecture that he did. So metaphorically, he did something called the last lecture. If you were able to give up your last lecture, like it was your last day on earth, what would it be? Wow. But he was actually dying of cancer when he gave his last lecture. So it was ironic there, but he talked about brick walls and he talked about them being there for a reason, right? I never knew how much that speech would mean to me, because literally when I crashed into a brick wall, it was so that I could get over that, right? And I could get over that hurdle, and I could show that, you know, anything's possible. So from not walking to walking red carpets, that means so much to me, because from after that, I was leading efforts for leading media efforts, red carpet efforts for NAACP Image Awards, then taking clients to BET Awards, and then, you know, doing all of these things that just kind of shaped my career in a sense, even outside of just the entertainment space. Two Black girls working on a project at Harvard University, two HBCU graduates, right? Two Black girls working with the United Negro College Fund, you know, from HBCUs, and just all of these different things that made up what the last 4 years, what the last few years post that car accident looked like for me.
Wow. You know what's in, I think everybody has what we call that thorn in our sides. It's either an event that happened to us psychologically, either something that happened to us physically, but it's a part of our makeup, it's a part of our DNA, it's a part of our journey in life. And those are things that I think as time goes on, we cherish. And, you know, it helps us to be more human in terms of having the ability to connect with people. And, you know, some of the most earnest and sincere people that I've seen are the ones that have been through situations. You know, I've gone through situations. You know, I remember when I was in the military and jumping from a third story building and landed on the right side of my hip and couldn't move. I was in a wheelchair walker for months. Wow. So, you know, and it's something that I still carry with me today. And, you know, I'm thankful for the ability to walk, and I'm thankful for the ability to get things done. But it also lets me know, like, hey, look, and I think something similar to you is like, hey, look, oh, we could have been dead. You know, we could have been gone. Like, there's a reason why God then snapped his fingers and say, all right, you know, it's lights out. You know, so
purpose.
Exactly. Purpose.
Purpose.
Purpose. big time purpose. And, you know, the mission here on earth is not yet done. So, you know, I think something the Bible says, like, there's a time and season for everything. And obviously, if it wasn't your time or season to go. So, you know, I think those things are fascinating because they give life flavor too as well. They give you a sense of gratitude, you know, like waking up, you know, just dealing with the pressure, dealing with the stress, but being like, yo, I survived this. I've been through this.
Yeah.
This is lunchtime for me. And even how that incorporates into the rest of your life, like you were saying, you were talking to an intern, or I think what you said, she was 21 years old, and you being able
a mentee of mine.
Yeah, and you're able to pour into her. You're able to pour knowledge, experience, wisdom, understanding into her. So, you know, it's one of those things that it could be used and shaping into so many different things.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Nah, and, you know, I always feel like, you know, sometimes when we look at situations like that, sometimes people are like, man, oh my God, like, man, they went through that. Like, I don't know if I could do something like that. Yeah, you can, because it hasn't just happened to you yet in some way, shape, form, or manner. And it's not something whereby it's something to look down on. I know sometimes, you know, people look at stuff like, oh man, you went through this and that's, but you never know in life and what things can manifest and how they manifest. But I think that the most important thing is having the courage to look at it and spin it in a positive direction. Now that saves.
Yeah, and having the courage to get up, because even what you see right now from me, like, I wasn't always this person. I was depressed. Imagine being 22, and there are worse things too, so let's also let me not wallow in that. But being 22, at the prime of my life, right, like just graduating college, being a part of all of these clubs and organizations, and then saying, hey, like, you got epilepsy, and it came from out of nowhere, so like they still don't know why I have it, they aren't certain, but like I was stubborn to it. I didn't want to take that medicine. Like, as my grandmother would say, I didn't want to take it because I didn't want to have epilepsy. And I thought that, you know, it would go away. And unfortunately, it didn't. So, like, again, that car accident was because I wasn't taking my medicine. I remember, but it's so funny because, and this, not to get all spiritual, God kept me every single time. So, like, I remember even when I was living in New York, because the car accident happened in Maryland, I was living in New York. I was coming from work. I was going to the bank. I took out a lot of money to go get my hair done. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Broadway, so I'm near, like, Central. I'm near Central Park, about to get on a train to go get my hair done. I had a seizure in the snow. I tried to call my mother. I tried to call her on the phone, but didn't get to her in time. But two women found me in the snow and put me in an ambulance. To this day, I don't know who those women are, but to say that God didn't keep me every single time would be a lie. Like, that would be a lie. Like, somebody kept me. I'm gonna say God. Like, somebody else might say it was something else, but I'm gonna say every single time I was protected. Like, through every single storm that I endured, right? Even if it wasn't epilepsy, no matter what it was, I was always protected, and there was always a bigger calling. So back to purpose and, you know, all of those things. So who am I not to celebrate? Who am I not to give back? And who am I not to help tell my story and heal somebody else?
Nah, that's extremely powerful. And I think, you know, keeping God at the forefront, because, you know, through him, all things are possible. And even, you know,
sure.
I think we all have our questions, like, yo, why God, why me? But, you know, one thing I've come to realize, and I'm still, is like, look, your thoughts are above my thoughts, and I trust, mm-hmm. I trust whatever it is that you do more than whatever it is that I can even try and do, because I've seen my actions. I've seen where my actions have led me to in the past. So I trust your judgment and understanding. And I think the main thing too, as well, is that, you know, with God, you know, our time of understanding is not when he necessarily wants us to understand. So we may be
for sure
saying, like, yo, what I want to understand now. And he's like, you're going to understand in 5, 10 years, 15 years.
Yeah. And yeah, because what I had to stop saying, what I noticed I had to stop saying with the whole epilepsy situation, I went from saying, why me, to why not me? Mm-hmm. You know, like, if this is the condition that I have, and when I talk to other people, their condition is a lot worse. Some people can't control it with medicine. I remember a woman, because I used to go to these like focus groups when I lived in California, because I was by myself. Mm-hmm. I'm by myself. I hardly know anyone. This condition is new for me. But like one woman said, I got epilepsy from my husband hitting me in the head, like beating my ASS so much. Like, that's how she developed epilepsy. Jesus. And like, you know, those different things are like, or like, I remember I saw a baby having seizures. Like, those different things are like what made me say, Reagan, you complaining? Like, you're complaining over this when your seizures are controlled, when you can still drive, when you can still function. And it's people who can't. So I had to go from saying, why me, to why not me?
Powerful.
Why not me if I'm okay, if I can still function, if you and I can still have these conversations? I got to worry about a seizure every 2 months, but as long as I take my medicine, you're controlled. So, before last August, because I did have one last August, I had been seizure free for almost like 3-4 years.
Ooh, okay.
So, yeah, so it had been a while since the car accident, but last August I did have one. And I haven't had one since, thank God. But just to give you a perspective.
Got it. Awesome. And as we begin to, you know, wrap up, and, you know, those that, you know, want to tap in, because one thing I think that's really interesting with you is that you're able to really digest and comprehend people's stories, you know, even the way you kind of talk about some of the things that you've been through and like your experiences, it shows a lot of like intelligence. It shows a lot of like reflection and, you know, being able to ingest and like really absorb information. People that want to reach out to you, that, you know, they're like, hey, look, you know, I want to get my started on my PR journey. You know, I want to consult, you know, I want to go ahead and hire a publicist. You know, how can they at least, you know, start the process with you? You know, what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
So, you can fill out our inquiry form. It's either in my bio, my Instagram page, so RaeThePublicist, or you can visit our website at intelmediagroup.com. We typically don't do DMs, so if you do DM, I'll still send you to the form, so that way I can have everything in one central location. Mm-hmm. Because it's hard to, I am not going to remember to go back to DMs just because I might be doing 50 million things. But definitely the best way, intelmediagroup.com, or the link in my bio on my Instagram page. I also have a personal brand site, so that's ReaganFarley.com. So that's if you want to book me for like speaking engagements, or anything of that nature. So Rate a Publicist is my Instagram page. Intel Media Group is our company page. IntelMediaGroup.com is our website. And then Reagan, R-E-G-A-N, Farley, F-A-R-L-E-Y.com is for my speaking engagements, merchandise, and anything else of that nature.
Awesome. Thank you again for coming on the show. It's been exciting, and it's always thoughtful, you know, when I talk to you. There's a lot of interesting and deeper than the surface level conversations.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I enjoy us having conversations. So now I'm gonna bug you too, since I got your cell phone number, just to check in to make sure that you're doing okay. So I appreciate it. This has been an amazing conversation. But our first conversation was amazing too. So thank you so much for the work that you're doing. And if you need some more people to interview, I totally got you. I will send some folks your way.
Load up the truck. And one thing I've been saying to myself, I definitely, we got to go somewhere, go chop it up. There's this awesome place called Cafe Easy, you know, like either brunch or something, just, you know, talk life, talk business. Because I know you're in the
Baltimore. Let me know. So, Baltimore, yeah, I'm in Baltimore. So you let me know when.
Definitely, definitely. Let's do it. Okay, any last words to the listeners?
I will say, masterminders, remember to be great. Stop at nothing to make your dreams come true. Live your life with intention, but most importantly, inspire someone else, because it's so great when you do things for self. However, doing things for someone else will make a world of difference. You're more blessed when you give things away. And lastly, find your purpose, because your purpose will lead you to your passion. The dream is free, but the hustle sold separately. Support someone else today, pour into someone else. And I'm Reagan. Thank you so much for listening.
All right. My mastermind is those that are listening in, those that are tuning in, go follow Ray. I'm gonna drop all the links. Check her out, Intel Media Group. Look, if you're interested in PR, you wanna get that conversation started. Yo, Ray, she is the sauce. She is plucked, like, when it comes, like, she can pitch you in that right direction. She can pitch you with the right connections. They can help you put together a game plan. So don't waste time. Or if you know somebody that needs PR and you're listening to this, tell them to get in contact with her. Hit that link in the bio. Of course, all the links are going to be pinned here as it gets distributed everywhere. All right. Till next time, my masterminders, we out.
Hey, I appreciate you for listening to the Mastermind Your Life podcast. Again, don't forget to follow me on Instagram, TOLU.OWOYEMI, and blow up my inbox, man. I need to hear your suggestions, feedback, people I need to interview next, topics I need to cover. Again, I appreciate all y'all. And while you're at it, you might as well go to Apple and drop that review. Let's get it.